Welcome to Innovation Destination, the podcast channel for supply chain industry professionals. Here's your host, Managing Editor of Supply Chain Connect, Tyler Fussner.
Hello, and welcome to Innovation Destination Counterfeit Chronicles. I'm your host, Tyler Fussner, Managing Editor at Supply Chain Connect, and joining me again today is Richard Smith, Vice President of Business Development at ERAI. Hey, Richard.
Good afternoon, Tyler. Good to be back. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm glad you are back here talking to us. Today, I have a big question for you. How do I avoid using counterfeit parts? Now, I know that's a big question, right? And it's got many answers. So maybe we can step back and cover the basics and help answer the big question. My first one, I guess, where we can start is, what are some of the essential measures that you should have in place to combat counterfeit activity?
The answer to that is you need a plan. And regardless of the size of your company or the type of operation that you are you a manufacturing company, a distributor, a broker, a reseller? If you are purchasing and receiving electronic components, you need some sort of plan. Now, that can be something as simple as a one-line statement or as complex as a well-researched and put-together manual. What I recommend, ERAI has an internal division called Intercepts, and that's a training and certification course. And when people come to me asking questions about training, I always point them to this one particular class available on Intercept. It's called CPO1, Developing and Implementing a Documented Counterfeit Mitigation Control Plan. If you take the course and do everything you're asked to do in the course, you will end up with a document that will be your company's counterfeit mitigation control plan. And you can share that with your superiors in the company so that the higher level guys have a sense of what's going on in the day-to-day operations. You can share it with your colleagues within the company. And you can share that with your customers, especially the ones that ask, how do you handle counterfeits? So it's a question of identifying and committing to paper your plan. And once again, that can be very simple or very complex depending on the nature of your business.
And when developing that plan, can you tell me a little bit about maybe what the quality control system aspect of that plan would look like? What does it look like when it comes to electronic component inspection? I guess, what boxes do I need to check when I'm looking at my components?
Every known standard that affects the electronic component industry has a checklist. And ERAI, and this is free, I'm not trying to sell you something, we have a checklist in our toolbox tab, and it's our document on how to detect a counterfeit device. It's a PDF file, you can download it and post it with your incoming inspectors or quality people. And it is a checklist starting with the simplest visual inspection, and it'll take you through initially examining the packaging. Oftentimes there are red flags as soon as you open a box, or many times even when you get the box. If you've placed an order with a U.S. company and the box comes in with a Chinese return address, that could potentially be a red flag, something you want to be aware of. The ERAI component checklist is a mashup, if you will, of all the known standards out there. And it's broken into sections. Depending on the type of component you're looking at, you're going to want to examine the surface of the component, the appearance, the leads, again, the packaging. As you work the checklist, you'll get to a point where you can mark the devices as acceptable and bring them in. The farther you go along in the checklist, and if you're still not getting good responses, eventually you've got to make a decision. We were going to have to reject these parts as counterfeit or go through a higher level of testing, maybe using x-rays or full electrical tests or something like that. The simple rule of thumb is the really bad counterfeits can typically be caught, observed, ruled out, rejected, and quarantined by visual inspections and some mechanical testing.
And you mentioned a red flag that when it comes to the packaging, I'm curious, what are some of the telltale signs when you're doing these inspections What are some telltale signs of counterfeit components? What should users really be looking for?
Well, before you even get to the component, if you open a box, and bear in mind, the things I'm about to mention, none of them are conclusive, but they are certainly things that would cause you to do some additional scrutiny. If you're buying integrated circuits that come in a tube, and the manufacturer of those parts are Texas Instruments, for instance, and they're in tubes that are marked NEC, that's a potential red flag. That means that somewhere along the line, those parts were put in the tube manually. There are legitimate reasons that could happen, but it's something you want to consider. If you get parts on a reel, you have to know the difference between an orientated and non-orientated device, meaning certain parts all have to be put on the circuit board facing one direction, one way. There are some devices, it doesn't matter which way they go on the board. So if you've received a reel of components that are supposed to be orientated, and you see them in the reels in the little pockets backwards, or you see them going in different directions, that's a red flag. That means they've been put on there by someone who either doesn't know what they're doing or something's been incorrect. And if they all line up, well, that's good. That's a pass, but we haven't checked the component yet. So these are some things you can look at before you even look at the device for testing. Another thing I almost failed to mention was packaging. If you're buying parts with a moisture sensitivity level and they're just wrapped in a plastic bag, or if you're buying parts that are static sensitive and they're just in a plastic bag or non-anti-stat bag, those could be red flags as well.
And maybe before we even get to that point, further down the line in the process, what are some telltale signs of counterfeit dealers? How do you vet your distributors and your component sources?
Really good question. Nowadays, with so many online services, there's really no excuse to not go and check and ask around and see if you can find information on a vendor. The typical story is a company can't find a component they need from their normal suppliers. Someone at the company does a web search, and there are dozens, if not hundreds, of these very excellent-looking, high-quality, professional web stores, and people will request a quote. And then they get a response for the quotation request, and the company quotes them stock. They have plenty of stock when all the biggest and best distributors in the world don't have any. They quote you the best price you've ever seen before, and you kind of wonder how that happens because you've been buying in volume for many, many years. And to further entice you, they offer to pay free shipping from, say, Hong Kong. So you get invested in the deal. It seems too good to be true, but you're desperate for the parts, so you place an order. Then the next day, you get an invoice, and you learn that the terms are wire transfer in advance. So you send the money, and then that company ceases all communication with no intention of shipping you product or returning your money. That's one scenario. The other one is that exact same scenario, but at least a bad supplier, some of them will have the decency to at least ship you a box of rusty counterfeited devices and not just abscond with your money and not ship you anything. Vetting vendors is extremely important, and there are plenty of places to go do that, ERAI being one of them. Anytime you approach a potential new vendor, don't hesitate to ask them for references. And if you're in the U.S. or Europe, and you're talking to a vendor in, say, Asia, ask them for references in the country that you are sitting in and verify those references. It's very easy, and there's been many cases of people providing false references, and then you call, and the guy that you call is in on the scam, and he says, oh, yeah, 123 Electronics, they're great, never had any problem. And that's just not the case. And there are many documented instances of that in the ERAI database as well.
So, Richard, say we put that plan in place. We have an idea of what to look for when we're dealing with components. We have an idea of who we want to do business with. Going forward, what are some best practices that organizations should have in place when sourcing electronic components to help them avoid counterfeit activity?
The best practice is to buy your product direct from the manufacturers or their franchise authorized supply chain. That is the best that anyone can do. Having spent 45 years in that business, I can tell you without equivocation that on any given day, the entire franchise supply chain simply cannot meet all the requirements there are in the world. And there are a lot of reasons for that. It's lead times, low levels of inventory, obsolete product, high demand product, creating long lead times. Sometimes it's pricing issues. There are all kinds of reasons for that. But the point is, whatever the reason, sooner or later, virtually every company is driven into the secondary market. The secondary electronic component market has been around at least 80 years and has thrived. Many of those guys, I would dare say most of those guys, especially the higher level ones, are excellent suppliers. You just can't get any better than that, but they fill a need. When you go out into this secondary market, it's all about vetting. Hopefully, when you do your control plan, part of that is to establish relationships with some of these really good, well-known, high-quality, long-term secondary suppliers. And in most cases, if you've got five of those, you've got access to just about all the excess inventory that there is in the world. There are some exceptions to that statement, but that'll get you going. And if they can't help you, or you're looking for a unique device and you find a supplier, ask for references, check all the databases to see if there have been any complaints against them. You really have to work hard to do your due diligence, especially nowadays with the internet and the ease of incorporating in various states around the country and around the world, and with the proliferation of mailbox, Dropbox type locations, it's very difficult to find out if you've got a legitimate company that you've approached to buy product. But you need to spend the time to do it or depend on an organization that specializes in that, like ERAI.
So, Richard, say I found a counterfeit component in my stream of operations. Now what? How do I report it through ERAI so that maybe someone else doesn't make the same mistake that I did?
Okay, so if you found a counterfeit part in your incoming inspection, kudos to you guys, whoever it was, because that means you've got a working plan in place and your inspectors have discovered a counterfeit part. Depending on the type of company you are and the type of business you do, the standards you're following may require you to quarantine that device and not return it. And you need to look into your standard to see about that. You may be pleased to know ERAI membership is not required to report a part or report an incident with a company. So anyone can go to ERAI.com, click on the report tab, and either report an incident with a company, which we will help to resolve, or report a part of a counterfeit part and part number. And it asks you some questions. You'll have an opportunity to share your findings, your test report, images, things like that. And it's even easier to take your test report, your failed test report, whether that's your internal inspection document or if you have a test report from a third-party test lab denoting a failure, you can just email that to reportparts@erai.com. That will establish the fact that you have reported the device, you've done your due diligence, and if you're ever audited by a customer or a government agency, we can give you a list of all the parts you've reported and when and what they were and how you deal with that inventory, whether you quarantine it, scrap it, destroy it, or return it, depends on the type of business you're in, the standards you're adhering to, and the terms that you have with your vendor. But it is very important that you do report. All this reported counterfeit and non-conforming material is in our high-risk counterfeit part database. Annually, we do a numbers crunch where we look at all the reported parts. Anyone having access to our database benefits from your experience. They benefit from you reporting the device. That's done anonymously. The part report is not tied to your company. So no one could ever say, oh, ABC Electronics, they're receiving counterfeit products. Our position is the industry as a whole benefits knowing the bad devices out there. We don't necessarily have to do that and attach the name of the company that's reported the part. Although those people should be congratulated because they're really doing a service to the industry.
Richard, how do I better educate myself and my team on counterfeit components? Does ERAI offer training or educational materials?
Sure, we do. I do demos all the time of the ERAI website, database, and tools. When I do a demo, the intention is to show our database and search tools to a company who may potentially subscribe to have access to that database and search tools. However, during that demo, the first half of it is at ERAI.com, and that is free and open to the public. Anyone can go to ERAI.com, read all the material there. We publish blogs, newsletters, articles from various sources around the world. In our toolbox tab and counterfeit awareness tab, there's a great deal of information. One is the checklist that I told you about. We have our counterfeit awareness tab, which gives a running history. There's a lot of best practices. All the standards are listed there. We don't sell the standards, but we tell you what they are and where you can obtain a copy. My point is, if one would take the time to read all the information available on our public page, you can become pretty close to expert in supplier part risk mitigation. Now, at some point, you may decide you need more technical, a higher level knowledge, and ERAI has an internal division called Intercept, and that is a training and certification course. Successful students will learn to make an accept-reject decision across a wide range of components using techniques taught in the course. We offer some certificate programs for the day-to-day component inspectors. The incoming inspectors that are examining parts day in and day out as they come in. Then we offer a project manager certificate, and that's for someone generally higher up in the organization that's not inspecting product on a day-to-day basis, but they need to have some idea of what's going on, how it's being done, so that they can explain that to their colleagues, their customers, their superiors, so they have at least a working knowledge of what the inspectors are doing. So there is some very detailed information, and many companies will look at our class lists and say, I've identified one or two classes that, you know, we're a little deficient in, and they'll take those classes. Some of them will say, hey, you know, we're starting from scratch and we need to get some qualified inspectors, so we're going to sign up and have two or three or four or five guys take the Inspector 1 and Inspector 2 certificate class.
So, Richard, going back to the big question that I asked at the beginning, how do I avoid counterfeit parts? I think it sounds like step one, put a plan in place. Step two, do your due diligence. We know what to look for. We know who we should work with and who we shouldn't. And I would say step three, be open to sharing your information and taking in as much information as possible to stay the course and have a successful anti-counterfeit program in place.
All of those things go a long way toward preventing counterfeits getting into various supply chains. You have to be diligent and consistent.
Well, thank you again, Richard, for joining us. We appreciate it. Until next time.
Next time. Thanks, Tyler. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Innovation Destination. Follow us online at supplychainconnect.com or find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to stay up to date on the latest supply chain industry news. Do you have any questions or is there a topic you would like us to cover in a future episode? Please contact us at editors@supplychainconnect.com. That's EDITORS@supplychainconnect.com.